In life,
there is always a crossroad, a place where you make a decision that way, or straight ahead, or turn back. In spiritual work, that crossroad also comes. And unless you're prepared for it, you do not know in which direction to go, especially if a new direction is such a total change from everything you have ever done. In 3 years, Jesus served as a window for the Christ, which was bringing mankind a new direction. A direction so sensational that even now, sitting here 2,000 years later, we wonder if we can handle it. Living as you do in a human body, you ultimately die. You make an assumption that perhaps you live again in another body, or that you do not come into another life at all. These are your two options that you know about. Then a Jesus appears and says there's a third. You don't have to die and be buried and be gone. And you don't have to die and come back in another body. There's a third option. And that's the one that is too sensational for most individuals to even know about, let alone accept. He says there's an entirely new system waiting for you. Another body, another life, another universe, and if you wait to enter it, you will not. You must follow I, the Christ, and you must follow I, the Christ, in your other body, into the kingdom. He tells us carefully to prepare us, my kingdom is not of this world, but I have a kingdom. And it is your Father's pleasure and my Father's pleasure to give you that kingdom. In other words, to take you out of this life that dies into that kingdom. But there's something that you must do. It's not enough for you to say, Jesus said, and therefore it's all taken care of. Because he could have done that in less than 3 years. He had to give you the conviction, the understanding, the ability to follow him. And because it is the pleasure of God to give you the kingdom, there has to be a vehicle that takes you into it. Certainly death is not the vehicle. And that's where the change comes in. The human sense of life, the human sense of body, all the things we're so comfortable with, we cannot continue in them and enter the kingdom of God. We must realize that. I presume that we do realize that. And now, in order to enter the kingdom, the changes that we must make must be totally clear, so that you do these things consciously with the thorough knowledge of what you are doing and why you are doing them, and a knowledge of the consequences of not doing them. The one total consequence of not doing them is to live a human life until it expires. We've all made that decision. We're not interested in living a human life until it expires. We've all passed through the belief that we can improve our human life, and that will be the totality of what is available to us. We have come to the point where we know that the only way for us, regardless of the cost, regardless of what is demanded of us, is that transitional experience in which we are transformed from a human self to the divine self, the Christ self, and now the knowledge that we must be transformed into the Christ body. When Jesus says, follow me, he is saying, follow me in your Christ body into the kingdom of paradise. You cannot follow Christ in a human body. So you either decide to follow Christ in another body or decide not to follow Christ. Each makes the individual decision. I will follow Christ in whatever body is necessary. And it turns out that that body is your spiritual, your immortal, your eternal body. It's the only body in which you can follow Christ. And so it must be available. It must be here, or else you cannot follow. You cannot follow after death. Our immediate need, then, is to understand our spiritual, Christ, eternal, immortal body, the nature of it, the substance of it, the availability of it, and how to live in it. What we want to do is take the mystery out of it, the unfamiliarity out of it, to see it as a normal progression from a human body to a spiritual body. And to do that, we have much guidance from the Spirit itself, coming to us through the prophets, giving us a very careful delineation of the availability of the body and the method in which you become aware of it as your body. And this is that kind of a class where we see it clearly or we don't, so that we can make the decision that henceforth I know not myself after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're looking closely at our second birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. I think you should find your heart center now and prepare to find your spiritual body as a living reality. And so we're loosening ourselves from the grip of the world mind and the five senses. Lifting up the eye, we're withdrawing from the human sense of life. We're saying, speak, Father, thy Son heareth. I'm ready to be enlightened, Father, by your living word. Teach me how to follow Christ. thinks about the mystery that has been kept secret since the world began. And again, he speaks about the mystery that has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. In your higher consciousness, you are able to commune with the saints who have learned the mystery. And in this communion, you two are brought into the inner understanding of the secrets of transformation. Christ in you. Not Christ who walked the earth seemingly in the form of Jesus. Not Christ who said to the disciples, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Not even Christ who resurrected after crucifixion. That Christ is now seen as Christ in you. Christ in you is your hope of glory. Christ in you is the way to finding your spiritual body in the eternal spiritual universe here, now. We are told that every man is perfect now in Christ. You might say that statement is to separate you from the belief that you are other than the living life of Christ itself. To a mortal creature, Christ came to say, you are not you, you are I. And when I go away, when you can no longer depend on the person you see, and you lose that personal sense of a Jesus, you will find I Christ within yourself. And slowly you will develop the capacity to know that I Christ, alive before birth, is your name. That I Christ is the Son of God. I Christ is the only begotten of God. I, Christ, is the image and likeness of God. And unless you know that I, Christ, is you, you are not the Son, you are not the image and likeness, you are not the begotten of the Father, and you cannot follow Christ into the promised land. Because only Christ can follow Christ. There can never be two. When there is one, I Christ following I Christ is that one. I Christ in you is your hope of glory. I Christ in you must be accepted as the identity of you, not just now. You must go back and erase all previous concepts of identity. And even though you're fascinated by reincarnations, you must erase all beliefs that those reincarnations were you. They were simply previous dreams of the world mind which you accepted once as you. And entertaining as they may be, you cannot follow Christ as a reincarnated person. You must go back and erase the child in the womb whom you thought was you. The life of God existed before the child in the womb, and the life of God did not enter the womb. The image of flesh coming forth from the womb will die. But I, Christ, can never die. It is not enough to say that Jesus abolished death. You must abolish death. For your name is Christ. I, Christ, abolish death by going back to the point of human birth and seeing that I, Christ, existed before ever a form appeared called the physical me. I, Christ, was always my name and identity, even after the form appeared. And the form simply became an outer vehicle through which I was supposed to let I, Christ, function. Before Abraham was, I, Christ, am. Before man appeared on earth, I, Christ, am. Before the Roman Empire, I, Christ, am. Before there was an animal, a beast, a creeping thing, I, Christ, am. Before the beginning of this world, I, Christ, am. The extension of your knowledge of identity at this point is a prelude to finding your spiritual body. Your spiritual body was present before the form appeared, before the human race appeared, before anything in this world evolved into what it now seems to be. Your spiritual body existed. And so you're going back into what seems to be time, but you're really reaching out into that which is eternal to see that your spiritual body is an eternal reality right here and right now, and has always been the spiritual body of I, Christ. That spiritual body knows no death, and in learning to accept it, in learning to experience it, in learning to live in it, you abolish death. Eliminate the duality of thinking that I, Christ, in me is who I am, when you know that I, Christ, is not in you, but I, Christ, is you. We have taken off the hard shell of flesh that deteriorates. We are accepting spiritual flesh, even though in a human mind, we have no capacity to know what that spiritual flesh is. We are, for the moment, walking on the waters of faith. Spiritual flesh I am, which is the substance of my spiritual body, which has always existed, which exists now, and which is under the law, guidance, and love of God. There is much misconception about the cause of death on earth. We attribute it to all kinds of defects, all kinds of viruses. We attribute it to old age. We attribute it to war. We attribute it to abuse of the human body. But these are merely symptoms. These are not causes. They appear to be causes to the human mind. They are the symptoms. The cause of death is always one cause. When an individual does not attain the spiritual body, death is inevitable. And that's the only cause of death. Whoever attains the spiritual body does not die. Eternal life cannot flow in a human physical body. It flows only in your spiritual body. So when you're in your spiritual body, that life which is deathless, that eternal life, is yours. When you're in a human body, that life which is inevitably going to die is also yours. The choice is made when you work to achieve the awareness of your spiritual body. That choice we're making now. Do you remember how you started a project that to you was insurmountable? Any project. Just, you didn't know how you would possibly do it. A few weeks later, it wasn't too impossible. It was difficult, but you could see daylight. A few months later, you wondered why you ever thought it was impossible. The mountain slowly comes down, and something in you slowly rises until the mountain is a molehill. It's that way humanly. The most difficult things in the world become normal after we have learned the techniques to perform them. The spiritual body, which seems sort of a concept, a word, not a substance, slowly loses its unfamiliarity. You feel yourself in it, not just here. What was this little letter I got yesterday? This woman, I picked it up, and when I got home, I read it about the ocean. I went into the ocean. It scared me. After a while, I felt more at home in it. After a while, I felt I was the ocean. After a while, I didn't want to get out of the ocean. I got that letter yesterday. I understood it. I understood it because it once happened to me just about that way, and also about an ocean. The ocean becomes very friendly, almost loving, almost inviting. I felt that, and this letter said that too. I remember it distinctly. The invitation of the ocean, as if it wanted to reach out and put its arms around you. And you knew it. You felt it was alive. Well, that didn't start instantly, but it comes. And similarly, other things come, in which the unfamiliar becomes more than familiar. So it is with your spiritual body. It becomes more real to you than your human body. And at times it almost makes you want to cry with joy, because you know you have one. And then you realize you don't have one. You are one. You are an infinite spiritual body. And the more you work with that, the more familiar you will become with it, and the more you will realize that that infinite spiritual body is the body of Christ. And in it, you automatically find yourself following Christ into paradise here and now. From what I read in the Bible, these are not opinions. These are statements of the Christ. They are dependable. You can walk on these statements, and even when you stumble, they will pick you up. There is one body, and there is one spirit. And we are one body. You, he, she, I are one body. Outwardly, many forms. But we are one body in Christ. Everyone members one of another. Fortunately, to some extent, we've passed the point of excluding others from Christhood, or else we could never understand or accept that we are one body, which we are. You do not have the right or the power to place anyone outside of that one body, for all are in that one body and are that one body. And therefore, if you are in any way mistreating anyone who is in the one body, that will be malpractice. And that malpractice, by law, will return to the sender. That's why it says that if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. The moment you mistreat anyone who is the one body, you are denying it for yourself, and you are outside the law of God. Love thy neighbor as thyself, because you are all members of the one body of Christ. When Ananias and his wife withheld the purchase price of the sale of their house, only a portion of it, they were unfaithful to the one body of Christ. When it says that they died on the spot, literally, it meant that by stepping out of the one body of Christ, they once more became human dead. They were back in a human mortal body that must die. They stepped out of the one eternal body. Everything in this world tempts you to step out of it. And you always do until you learn that you're in it. When you learn that you're in it, then you realize what temptation really means. Temptation is that which tries to make you think that you are not the living body of Christ without beginning or end, that you are not the eternal life that flows through that body. And you are. Everything you have sought on this earth and more, you deny by seeking it, because you already are that which you seek. There is nothing you could possibly want on this earth which is but a shadow or a manifestation of a concept that you do not have already in the original. You have the kingdom of God. You have the treasures of the kingdom. Shall you go outside and try to find them or steal them or borrow them? How much more wise to know that in my spiritual body I have all that the Father hath, not just a fragment. When you accept your spiritual body, you are accepting all the treasures of the kingdom, for they all flow in your spiritual body. You can never say, I accept my spiritual body, and then say, I lack. I am limited. I fear death. Your spiritual body contains all that the Father has. And your spiritual body is your only body. You do not have two. When you accept your spiritual body, you know that your human sense of body is a mirage of the senses placed there by the world mind, using your mind as a little TV set through which it broadcasts its false images. It must be clear that in accepting one, you renounce the other. Suddenly you realize that just like you have a dress in your closet or a suit in your closet, but you're not in them now, you think of the human body the same way. Yes, I had a human body, and it's still visible. But I am not in it. I am in my infinite spiritual body. I am obeying the request, the commandment to follow Christ. But of course, I'm a neophyte at this, so I'll have to stay with it carefully, letting the Father within educate me, guide me, build my awareness and my confidence, go before me, lift me, enlighten me, and give me experiences so that I can find the inner peace which knows that I am becoming aware of a true body of spiritual flesh that is everywhere, that has no beginning in space or time, no ending in space or time. That's one of the mysteries that Paul was talking about. The mystery kept secret from the all ages and generations. There's only one body and one spirit, says Paul. And every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The measure means the degree to which you can experience and understand the presence and nature of your spiritual Christ body. Jesus was under total grace because he knew himself to be the living body of Christ. And so the degree to which you understand that you are the living body of Christ, to that degree, you will experience the grace of the Father. On the seventh day, on the day of total realization, all the grace of the Father flows through you. This is quite a different you than the world mine had given you. First in your childhood and then in your earlier days of adolescence. Quite a different you than the world had known in previous generations. This is a divine you. And yet a real you, replacing that which was not divine and which was only an image in thought. That image was composed of billions and billions and billions of repeated images, which ultimately totally hypnotized you into believing you were that one. Hypnosis is a marvelous thing. The world mind has hypnotized the human race. It even hypnotizes the hypnotist. I've seen hypnosis. I've seen 13 or 14 people on a stage. And they did all kinds of strange things. I saw one man not know his own wife. I saw a sweet little dowager break into a Roomba that she didn't know she could do. I saw a man take off his trousers and begin scratching his body all over. They were out of their minds. But they were out of their minds because they never had been in their minds. They were in the false concept called mind, and the hypnotist simply took them out of one mind into another. But you see, the hypnotist was also hypnotized. He really thought he was doing that. But Christ doesn't do that. And the reality of the hypnotist was Christ, and the hypnotist did not know that. Those who were sitting under the five porches, sick, infirm, halt, they were hypnotized into thinking that they were there in human bodies. And through their mind, the world mind deposited this concept of lameness, haltness, disease. Being crippled. The human mind had no way of seeing outside itself. And whatever was placed into it, that's all it could see. That's all it could experience. But then comes the Christ. And when the Christ takes this cripple out of his infirmity, he is doing it because he recognizes there the perfect one spiritual body of Christ, where the cripple seems to be. We, in our body of Christ, realize that I am as perfect as my Father. That which may seem to be imperfect in the visible me, in the visible form, is a world concept that I, under hypnosis, have accepted, that can be lifted by dehypnosis. And the dehypnotizer is Christ in me. In my Christ realization, I am no longer blind to my spiritual body. In my Christ dehypnotization, my soul sees with a Christ mind, and lo and behold, I am whole. I am Melchizedek, without beginning, without descent, without life, that could possibly ever end. In my dehypnotized consciousness, I see the kingdom where the world had been. I see the spiritual flesh where the physical bodies had been. I see paradise. where men are dying. I am no longer the dead, but I awaken from the dead. I step out of the grave of the sense of mortality. We have the words of the Father through the prophets. And these words shall never die. Our concept of earth shall die. Our concept of heaven shall die. But only our concept. Christ is liberating us, teaching us how to follow. Out of the body that dies into the present awareness of the body that is eternal. Revelation tells us that Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Let's see if we can understand that. Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Elsewhere, in John, as a prelude to his gospel, he tells us that Christ is the life of everyone. He says Christ is the firstborn of every creature. He says Christ is the only begotten of the Father, the only child of God. That God has no human children at all. Christ is the only begotten of the Father, and Christ, the only begotten, is the firstborn of every creature. That means Christ is the identity of every individual on this earth. And that all human birth after that, in the sequence called time, was a mirage of the senses, because human birth, by its very nature, makes us forgetful of our Christ identity, denies our Christ identity, and propels us into a false sense of life that must die just the same as it began. Unless that individual can step out of that mirage of human life into that which is the first begotten, the spiritual self, the spiritual body, the spiritual life, and break the mirage of the parenthesis called human life. In John chapter 1, first verse to the 18th verse, we learn that Christ is the life of everyone. Christ is the only Son of God. There are no human sons on the earth. And that you are that Christ. Christ is the firstborn of you, meaning before all your so-called incarnations, Christ is your name, and that can never change. In the first chapter, John also says, we have all received the fullness of divine grace. That means it's dormant in you unless you are accepting your spiritual self, but as the Christ. Otherwise, that divine grace which was given you before the world remains dormant in you, as it does in most of this human race today. Now suppose you accepted that the grace of God has been yours throughout eternity already, and you began to rely on it. You began to rely on being in the spiritual body. What would you do about it? How would you rely on it? It's the simplest thing in the world, and it looks like the most complicated. First, the peace. The relaxing from all strain, effort, wondering, seeking and striving. The peace. Grace is mine now in my spiritual body. That is a fact given to me by the Spirit of God in John. Can't I trust that more than I trust this little 2 or 3 ounce box in my skull? Isn't that where the lie comes into my experience? Isn't there a hypnotist somewhere utilizing that little 2 or 3 ounce box, telling me things that are untrue? Even saying, now you're dying. And I say, oh, I'm dying. Isn't karma the sum and substance of all this accumulated lying that goes on in that little 3 ounce box? Isn't that individual karma? And isn't all of the lying in the universe what we call world karma? To find the truth, give up the lie. And there is the truth. The spiritual body is filled with grace. Give up the lie. Tear it out of your system. Tear yourself away from it. Refuse to let the lie dominate your mind. I don't have to have a hare lip because my grandfather did. I don't have to have all kinds of susceptibilities because someone in my family did. I don't have to be a victim of human heredity. I don't even have to be a victim of my physical environment. If I don't belong in it, my spiritual body will transport me to that place where I do belong. But I first have to be in that spiritual body consciously. And then, lo, all little invisible dials are working. And then I appear somewhere else. Or I may get on a plane or a train or get in an automobile. But I'm not making the decision. I'm following the inner decision in which my spiritual body simply manifests this form where it's supposed to be. I'm glad you know about that, and you know it's true.